I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. We're going to do some reading here this morning. I want you guys to really pay attention to this story. We're going to talk about a man named Elkanah. The Bible says in verse 2, he had two wives. That's already a problem. One's enough, buddy. But anyway, he had two wives. He had two wives. The name of one of them was Hannah. The name of the other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli. Verse 4, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, was provoking her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Aren't women evil? Isn't that crazy? They're rivals, competitive, territorial. I like that. Verse 7, it happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, that's Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord. And she wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, Lord, if you will indeed look at my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life. A razor shall never come to his head. I want to jump over to verse 15. I got to explain this during the service. And Hannah told Eli, no, my Lord, I am a woman who was oppressed in spirit. I am a woman who is oppressed in spirit. And lastly, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked him. She said, let your servant find favor in your sight. So the woman went on her way. She ate, and her face was no longer sad. So I think God has to change some of your faces this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say amen. Look at him, say amen. I don't like your face, you tell him. Don't say that, that's mean, you're in church. Lastly, verse 20. It came about in due time. After Hannah had conceived, she gave birth to a son. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless this word. There's a lot of faces here I think you don't like. A lot of faces that need to change. And as we just conclude this series on how to stop whining, I pray that we take it as your word that's been revealed today. Let us apply it to our lives and just help me preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now Hannah was a broken woman. She was filled with pain because she had no children. Now today in our culture, if someone does not have children, it's not a big deal. But in that culture, if you could not have children, there was something seriously wrong with you. That was the belief in that system, in that culture. So for a woman, having children was everything, because a woman's role in this culture was only to c- conceive and have kids. Nothing else. Women didn't go out and work. Women were not the sole providers like they are today. Women were only purposed for children. So every little girl would grow up believing someday she would have a husband and have children. The children was the main purpose. The child said to that woman, I have value, I have self-worth, I have self-respect, I mean something because look, I have a child. So whenever you had a child, someone would look and say, wow, God has blessed you. God has favored you. You have such value because you have a child. Now take that understanding and you can understand why Hannah was so discouraged and so bitter, because the Bible said the Lord had closed her womb and she was not able to have a child. So in Hannah's spirit, in Hannah's heart, and in her mind, Hannah believed she had no purpose. Hannah believed she had low self-esteem. She had no self-worth because she had no children. So she would tell herself, why am I even alive? What is the purpose for my life? What am I good for if I can't have children? And Peniel didn't make it any better. Peniel would remind her of what she did not have. Year after year, the Bible said, Peniel would look at her and brag about her children. Peniel was like a rabbit. She was just popping them out. She had sons. She had daughters. But she would look at Hannah and say, oh, you still have no kids? Hannah, where are your children? Oh, you don't have kids yet. I forgot. And every year she would remind her, where are your kids, Hannah? And in conversation, I imagine she would say, you won't believe what my kids did. My kids did this. And look at my kids. And she would bring out the biblical purse or whatever with the photos and say, look at what little Randy, look at Steven. And oh, can you believe? Oh, you wouldn't understand. You have no kids. Pania is that type of person in your life that when you look at them, you are quickly reminded of what you do not have. When you look at Pania's Facebook, you are quickly reminded of what the Lord has not done for you. Pania is that person that in conversation, the thing that they tell you instantly in your mind, you say, Lord, why them and not me? All of us have a Pania in our lives that we are tempted to compare ourselves to and then wonder, what is it that God is really doing in my life? Pania makes you feel like you're falling behind in life. Like you should have achieved something by now. You should have had this by now. Because Pania has it. Pania reminds you that you're broke when she drives her new car. Pania reminds you that you're single when she shows off her ring. Pania is that girl that's eating a burger in front of you while you're eating grass and she still loses weight. Can I get a witness? And you're just saying, God, I don't get it. Isn't Pania the worst? I read this Bible, I was reading it, and I was mad at Pania. I said, man, Pania is bad. She's downright evil. Look at how she treats Hannah, and bragging and arrogance and pride about her children, knowing it's making her feel bad. And I got really mad at her. I get into the Bible. I look at her, that this is like my Telemundo here. My novela. I get into it. And I'm like, Penilla, you're so bad, you're so evil. And I got mad. And as I kept reading, I read verse 8. And verse 8 changed everything for me. Verse 8, I then got mad. Not at Penilla. I forgave her. I let her go. I got mad at Hannah. And you're probably saying, Pastor, how can you get mad at Hannah? Hannah's the one that's crying. Hannah's the one that's bitter. Hannah's the one that's just mourning and sad because of the bully, Penilla. But listen, hear me out. Verse 8, the Bible says, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? And why don't you eat? And why is your heart so sad? And notice what her husband says to her. Am I not better than if you had 10 children? 10 sons. And I got mad at her. I said, Hannah, you're so ungrateful. Your husband's given you double portion. You're married. You have a husband that loves you, cares for you, is blessing you. And you're crying because you're so focused on what you don't have. I got mad at Hannah, not because why she did not want to eat, but what she did not want to eat. And here's why. Year after year, when you would go to the house of God to bring offering and sacrifices, you did this 3 times a year. And when you went with your family, you went to there and you gave the sacrifices to the priest. They would present it to the altar. You would worship, you would give, you would sacrifice, you would have an amazing, you would say, church service. But after church was over, after you gave your offering and you prayed to God and you worshiped and all of that, you would get your family and you would have this meal. You would prepare this meal and you would eat together. And this meal was called the peace offering. You ever heard that before? The peace offering was a meal you ate together, and it was a meal that represented you having peace with God. Because who do you eat with? People you like. So I got mad at Hannah because I realized that Hannah has turned her bitterness now against God. See, the peace offering was that meal that you would let God know, I'm pleased with you. That meal was the meal that you would tell God, I have peace with you. Whatever you do in my life, whatever you don't do in my life, God, I have peace with you. See, that's what you do in any relationship. If you want peace, I'm going to show you something under this sheet that will change your relationship forever. What I found here will save your marriage. It will get the person that is mad at you the most to smile at you. You want to know what it is? Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You know when she's mad? You don't go for the cheap stuff. These are the real deal right here. You know this is expensive. This is the real chocolate. Don't you give her a Kit Kat bar. Don't you do that Snickers. You do it right. And you give her five. Why do you do this? Because you messed up. So you say, hey, here you go. And if she smiles. You would see it in her face. She blushes. She smiles. She takes it. What does that mean? Not only that you're a smart man, but you've been forgiven. It says it on her face. Ladies, amen? Some of you are like, it takes more than that, Pastor. That's why you're still single. All right. But what if you go to her and you look to her and you say, hey, and her face is demonic. Like the exorcist, she starts turning. And she slaps it out of your face. You're not going to dare say, so we're good, right? What does that mean, church? Run? Go get the diamond? Go do something? Spa treatment? I don't know, but it means it did not work. Because she would refuse to take it. See, this is what the peace offering meant to God. When you sat down and you ate and you laughed with your family, it was showing God, I have peace with you. So by Hannah refusing to eat, you know what she did there? She was telling God, I am not pleased with you right now, God. I don't have peace with you right now, God. I don't want that right now, God, because you haven't given me my child. You haven't done what I wanted. So now Hannah is taking it out on God. And notice the Bible says it showed in her face. I wish you can stand here so you can see your face. Some of you, I want to give you chocolate after church. But some of you, life beats you up so much during the week that by the time Sunday comes, your face is gone. It's so ugly when you smile because it's not real. You're like... And your face is just down all the time. You're in church and you're just like, that's Hannah. Because you're allowing life and its problems and everything you're going through to transfer over into your relationship with God. So now when it's time to worship and give thanks and have peace in your life, you refuse. Because you haven't gotten what you wanted. Because God hasn't come through for you like you want Him to. And I got mad at Hannah, and then the Lord convicted me and said, David, you're Hannah. I said, what? I am not. David, you're Hannah. And David, your church is full of Hannahs. And I said, okay, I'm going to preach that. Because I wonder, how many of you are so focused on what you don't have, you have forgotten what you do have. And that God has blessed you tremendously like Elkanah blessed her. And you have more than enough, but you think you don't because you keep comparing yourself to others and you feel like you're lacking and God has withheld from you. You see, Hannah, her husband didn't get mad because she was irritated. God understands when you're irritated about life and people. How many know people irritate you? God doesn't say, thou shalt not be irritated. It's not in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says Paul was irritated at a little girl. A demonic little girl, because most children might be, you know. And Paul said he was irritated. And God never told Paul, now Paul, don't get irritated. You're a disciple. Never. Her husband didn't get mad because she was sad. Because we're human. So we're Christian. But it doesn't mean that every day of your life is just to be happy and smiling and great and positive. This isn't Barney's Playhouse. It's life. And you look at this and you say, listen, it's okay to be sad. Because the Bible says even Elijah was sad. He was discouraged. To the point that he told God, Lord, can you please kill me? And God never said, you shouldn't be sad. You're a prophet. Hannah's husband didn't get mad at her because she was irritated or sad or even because she wept. The Bible says even Jesus wept over Lazarus. And God never told Jesus, you shouldn't cry. You're the Savior. You're human. You're going to cry. You're going to be irritated with people. There are moments that you're just going to be so sad. And God looks at you right now in this church and He says, that's okay. Because I understand that. But why did her husband get mad at her? It's when she refused to have peace. Can I tell you that God gets angry when His children allow themselves and refuse to have peace in their life until God does something? It angers God because you are refusing to have peace. You're refusing to have peace because you're constantly distracted by the successes of other people. You're refusing to have peace because, like Hannah, God has closed certain wombs for you, certain doors and opportunities, and now you're mad about it. So when it comes time to worship and give God thanks and have peace in your life, you're saying, no, God, I refuse to live in peace until I'm married. I refuse to live in peace until I have a job and a promotion. I refuse to live in peace until you heal me. I refuse to live in peace until you give me that house. I refuse to live in peace until I reach this milestone in my life. And that angers God because God says, even if you don't have anything, you should have peace because you have me. You have me. Some of us have made a certain destination the moment we'll have peace. The Bible says that year after year, nothing changed. You ever told yourself, next year, it's my year? How many of you said that in January and you realize, no, not this year either? Could you have peace with God even if He's let you down? Could you have peace with God even if He hasn't given you your desires? I realized as I read this, Lord, I'm Hannah. Lord, I'm Hannah. In fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Hannah. What's your name? And reply, I'm Hannah. I'm Hannah. Say it loud. I'm Hannah. You say, oh my God, I'm Hannah. Because I realize that God has given me so much and yet I haven't even seen it because I've been ungrateful. Hannah was ungrateful. Because she allowed herself to see what God was doing in the lives of others and not hers. So God really spoke to my heart here because in verse 8, her husband got mad at her when he saw that she refused to have peace. So I wonder today, how many of you are saying, God, I'm guilty of not having peace because I keep thinking about what I don't have in my life. Here's my question for you today, church. Because her husband said, am I not better? And in the Hebrew, that word better translates enough. Now let me ask you this heart-filled question and answer sincerely. Is God enough for you right now? If you never get married, is God enough? If you never get that career, is God enough? If you never fulfill your dreams, is God enough? Have you ever reached that place in your life that you say, Lord, you are enough? That's why God tested Abraham. Give me your child. Because I want to see if I'm enough, if I take that away from you. That's why the Lord allowed Satan to test Job and take everything. Take his home, take his health, take his children, take his job, take his finances. And Job was okay. Why? Because God, you're enough. You give, you take away. Blessed be thy name. Job said, you are enough. It's why Daniel was able to pray in an unknown land, being sold into a slavery. And Daniel was able to pray and worship 3 times a day, even though he lost his family and his home and life was hard, because he said, God, you're enough. See, that's why you don't live with peace in your life, because God is not enough. You need more. You want God plus something else. But peace said, you only need God, that's it. But we live in such a sad world that we said, no, you need more. You need the children, Hannah, to feel accomplished. You need the children, Hannah, to feel valued. You need children, Hannah, to feel like you're purpose and you have meaning. There's a lot of people that struggle with insecurity because of what they don't have. And you tell yourself, well, I'm not good enough because I don't have this. I'm not good enough because I'm not that. And I don't have this. But listen, you have God, so you're good enough. You're good enough. But see, the devil lies to you. He says, you need more. It's how he got Adam and Eve. You need more. It's not enough just to have God in your life. You need more. God gets angry when we forfeit our peace. You know, Pastor, why is that? Because of Hannah's husband's name. Hannah's husband's name, Elkanah, was one of the names of God. El means God. Kana in the Hebrew literally means creator. Elkanah's name literally means God is creator. That word Elkanah literally translates, the Lord is in power, the Lord is sovereign, the Lord is creator. When God spoke, it happened! Because he was the creator. He was in control. So why is it that it angers God when you have no peace in your life because of what you don't have? Because you're telling God, you're not in control of my life. But if God wanted you to have it, you would have had it. And if you don't have it yet, it's because you don't have it yet. God is always the creator of your life. The author and the finisher. He's writing your story. Can you trust him? When it's not what you imagined. Hannah got married to Elkanah and she pictured the kids she would have. And she tried. She never got it. Hannah was miserable because her husband wasn't enough. I want you and this, she would tell her husband. And her husband was hurt by it. Because it reflected how she felt about her husband. You're not enough. I think when you complain about what you don't have, you're telling God, you're not enough. Who am I preaching to today? You keep looking at life and people and you're checking out all the pineas around you and you're saying, God, I don't understand it. Why not me? And you're miserable because you're thinking about what stage in your life you haven't gotten to yet. And you're miserable. The devil loves this. Verse 15, she said to the priest, Eli, I'm a woman, oppressed in what? Spirit. She said, this is spiritual oppression, which is a sign of demonic activity. Hannah recognized, listen, he told the priest, there's something off here. This is more than just sadness. This is more than just discouragement. This is more than just being irritated because it is transferred over into my relationship with God. So I know that this has to be something of the devil because when you allow life to transfer over to your relationship with God, where you no longer have peace with God, you can believe that that is the definition of spiritual oppression. See, defined it right there. I'm oppressed spiritually. How do you know you're oppressed spiritually? She was in the house of God and miserable. If you're in this house today and you're miserable, there's something wrong with you, not God. And it's spiritual oppression. Let me calm down because I love this sermon. Because it shows me how the devil works. The devil oppresses you to, number one, doubt God. Doubt God that He's in control, that He's really the Creator. He does it so that you can focus more on Paneah and be ungrateful and fearful. What if it never happens? What if I never have children? What if? He does it so that you will be anxious and worried. Why? Because anywhere there's doubt, anywhere there's fear, and anywhere there's anxiety, there is no peace. And the devil's after your peace. And for a moment, he was winning with Hannah. Anytime you're in the house of God and you have no peace in your life, the devil's winning. There are people in this church that aren't here because the devil's winning. There are people online listening right now, you're tempted to shut it off because the devil's winning. He wants you oppressed. He wants you to live ungrateful. He wants you to live in fear and anxiety and comparison and jealousy to get you to a place where you forfeit your peace. She sat down in the table in front of the peace of God and she said, I don't want it. I don't want peace with God. I haven't gotten what I wanted. I haven't achieved what I believe I should have achieved a long time ago. And God hasn't done it yet. And He's done it for her. And not me. So God, until You give it to me, I ain't eating nothing. Peace with God. Bah. Have you seen my life? How can I have peace with God if He hasn't moved in years? The Bible said year after what? Year. Year after year. Hannah, eat? No. Hannah, come on, eat something. No, I don't want to. And every year her face got uglier. You better believe that. Every year she went to the house of God with that face. Is it over yet? Can we go home now? Eat a little something, her husband said. No! I don't want peace. Peace is not a destination. For many it is. I'll have peace once I get to that place where I get what I want. Till then, I'm going to spend day after day, month after month, year after year, doubting, fearful, anxious, jealous, complaining, and ungrateful. God bless you. That's going to make your life so much better. How many believe Hannah was really doing the best thing to make her happy now? No! She was making herself miserable. And the devil loved it. Why? Let me tell you what the devil was doing here. From Hannah would come Samuel. Samuel will become one of the greatest priests in the Bible. You read in the Bible. Samuel will be the one to stand before kings and anoint them and encourage them to pursue their will and their calling. It would be Samuel that would anoint King David and encourage him to keep going. And it would be through King David that Jesus would come. And I believe the devil knew this and said, I gotta get her discouraged. I gotta get her to give up. I gotta get her bitter and jealous and ungrateful because I know what's coming. You might be a threat to Satan. That's why you're so discouraged today. Because I believe that the devil is more afraid of you than you are of him. And he knows what God is about to do in your life. So he has to get you to a place where you forfeit your peace and live discouraged and give up. Because he knows if you keep pushing, if you keep believing, and if you make peace with God, I can't stop her. You got to stop telling yourself, I need this. I need that. I need to accomplish this. If not, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without Poppy. I need him. Where is he, God? I'm nothing without a boyfriend. I'm nothing without a husband. I'm nothing without a job. I'm nothing without a career. I'm nothing without this or that. I'm nothing if I don't have that. And God says, if you only knew that you're everything, even without that nothing you have. Stop telling yourself, I need this to have peace in my life. It's why you're so sad today. It's why you can't enjoy your life today. And it's why your face is so messed up. Bitter. Because all you seem to do is just compare and complain and whine. Hannah was a whiner who refused to have peace because she didn't have a child. Hannah allowed herself to lose peace, living every day in sadness and discouragement and jealousy. And she put herself there. just like you have put yourself in that place. But here's the good news. If you put yourself there, you can get yourself out. Say, Pastor, I don't think I can get out of this anymore. I'm sad. I'm discouraged. I keep comparing. I feel like I have nothing, so I allow that nothingness to discourage me. And yes, you're confessing to God in your heart, I've made peace a destination rather than a reality right now in my life. What do you do? Well, close with these three simple steps. You're saying to yourself, but Pastor, it's not fair. It's not fair. I work with Penina. I'm related to Penina. I go to church with Penina. The second I log on Facebook, boom, there's Penina. Penina texts me, she calls me. Every time I'm with Penina, it gets me to just question God, doubt God, and say, God, why not me? But Hannah did not know that she was not ready yet. Because the Bible says the Lord gave her the child in due time. So Hannah, it's going to happen, but you're not due yet. You got to wait. You got to wait. Number one, verse 9. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Let me say it one more time so you get it, really get it inside you. And Hannah rose after eating and drinking at Shiloh. Now help me preach it. And after she, fill in the blank. No? Want to say it one more time? And after she ate and drank, she rose at Shiloh. After she what? Ate. She ate. Let me tell you what happened. It's my version of the Bible. So she's at the peace offering table. And there's Penina laughing at her. Oh, I see you only got one chair this time. Again, no children. Should I prepare a kids' table? Oh no, I forgot. Sorry. She sits down. And her husband looks at her, which is Elkanah, the creator, an example of God. So what if God is sitting at the table with you and you're all sad and bitter and mad? And God says, eat something. What are you going to do? Now it's your choice. What are you going to do, Hannah? You're going to sit there and whine? You're going to sit there and mope around? You're going to sit there and cry again and be in the same place next year? Uh-oh. Because maybe, if I'm hearing correctly from God, you're in the same place year after year because you're in the same attitude. Oh. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Maybe it's year after year because you have the wrong attitude. Maybe you're not due yet for your breakthrough because you have the wrong attitude. Say, I don't know why it doesn't happen yet. Well, it's your attitude. So she sits down at the table. And God looks at her. Which is her husband, which in the Bible God says he's our husband. And he says, wife, which is you. Are you going to do it again this year? Is this going to be the same year as last year? Are you going to sit there and mope and cry and complain and get jealous and compare yourself to her and sit there and refuse to have peace with me? She was like, what are you going to do? You're at the table. And God says, hey, you want peace? So she said, okay, just this once, I'm going to eat. So she chose, listen, I'm getting in this with you. So she made a choice to go after and consume peace for herself, even if nothing has changed. That's a real believer. I have peace with God even if nothing's changed in my life yet. So she chose to eat. Number one, make a choice today that peace is possible. You don't have to wait for you to accomplish your dreams and your desires. Peace is possible with God right now. You can say, Lord, right now, I don't have it yet. I haven't achieved it yet. You haven't given it to me yet. But Lord, I'm not going to allow that to rob me of my peace anymore. And she chose to eat. And the Bible says in verse 9, after she ate, she rose. She got up. See, some of you can't get yourself up because you are refusing to live in peace. Come on now, come on. You're saying, Pastor, you mean to tell me if I just choose today to make peace with God, I'll begin to rise again? Well, let me ask you this. Are you tired of being down all the time? Jesus should not be the only one to have experienced a resurrection. Us. We are dead in Christ. And alive through Him. Some of you look dead. Like this is the church of the walking dead. Dead. You come to church. Life is so bad. You know, whatever. That's great. So anyway. That's your choice. What are you going to do? She got up in verse 10. The Bible says she prayed. Hey, Pastor, that's it. That's too simple. God is simple. Choose peace. Pray. Pray. Because let me tell you what doesn't move God. Complaining to Him. She prayed, the Bible says. So after she ate, she went to the house of God. She just sat down there at that table. She said, Lord, it's the same thing last year, this year. Year after year, God, nothing has changed. But Lord, I know and I confess, God, this is how her prayer went. Lord, I confess, I've been wrong. I've been jealous of Peninnah. I've been complaining, and I have been ungrateful. So Lord, here it is. If you never give me a child, I'm okay with that. You're enough. Could you pray that prayer to God today and say, Lord, if I never, and you fill in the blank on why you're not happy today. Could you honestly tell God, if you never give it to me, Lord, that's okay. You're enough. And she prayed. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer, not and everything by whining. No, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. Say, Lord, here it is. This is my request. I want a baby. Let it go. You know why you don't have peace? You say you pray, but you don't let it go. Oh, I prayed about it, but every day, like, it hasn't happened, hasn't happened, hasn't happened. Hannah prayed one time that this is it. Lord, I'm choosing to eat. I'm going to have peace with you. I'm going to go and pray. And Lord, here it is. I'm leaving it in your hands. And the Bible says, does that say peace? Are you kidding me, God? You mean to tell me all this time I've been living without peace? I could have just prayed and you would have given it to me. And God's like, yes. Even if nothing's changed. You could have peace of God, with God, the peace of God. How do you know you have the peace of God? It surpasses all comprehension, meaning it makes no sense. Why you have peace right now? Because your life is not where you want it to be. But you're still laughing, you're still smiling, you're still worshiping, you're still a nice person to be around with. Because no one wants to eat with Hannah. She's always whining. Her husband was like, oh my gosh, here we go again every year. Just want to go to church for one time without hearing this baby thing. Pray and let it go. Really, let it go. Pray. Let it go. Don't think, well, if I pray enough, God has to do it. Pray, let it go, and worship. That's what she did. So one, choose peace and admit and confess to yourself, peace is possible even if nothing's changed. Two, pray and let it go, and God will give you peace. That makes no sense. But you'll have peace in your mind and in your heart, meaning the peace will control your mind, your thought patterns, and your emotions. Tell me where your thoughts are and your emotions are, and I'll tell you whether you have peace of God right now. If your thoughts are anxiety and fearful and doubtful and you're miserable and your emotions are sad and discouraged and bitter, don't tell me, oh yeah, Pastor, I have the peace of God. You don't. And verse 17 and 18. Number 3. So one, choose peace. She ate. Two, pray and let it go. And 3, verse 17. Eli the priest answered and said, go in peace. Go in what? Go in peace. But nothing's changed yet. Go in peace. But it hasn't happened yet. Go in peace. Do you think that Hannah was going to pray one time and all of a sudden, what? I'm pregnant. She ain't Mary. She's Hannah. So what does she do? God, step 2, pray. Let it go. And I'm going to go and have peace. Could you go out of this church today and still have peace? Could you go to work tomorrow and have peace? Could you go back home today and have peace? If you're saying, Pastor, I don't think I can go and have peace, then please pray and let it go. Eli says in verse 17, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you your petition as you have asked him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your sight. So the woman went on her way and she ate. So she kept eating. She kept going after peace. And I love this verse because the Bible says, and her face is no longer sad. Because see, when peace gets transferred on the inside, it reflects on the outside. You can't tell me you have peace of God and your face looks miserable. You can't tell me, yeah, God is good. Yeah, praise God. I'm serious. This is the church of the faces, man. I've preached in a lot of churches for many years in ministry. And if I can be your pastor right now for a second as your friend, your faces bother me. They really do. I told a pastor that on my trip. I said, man, I love my church, but the looks that I see in church sometimes, I see some right now. I'm not looking at you, I promise. I almost did. But it's sad. Because, I mean, there's some people that really creep me out because they're too peaceful. And I'm preaching, they're like, they're like too happy. I'm like, whoa. But that's what God wants. And then when I talk to them, they're going through the worst thing. They're going through everything. You know, when I preach at the Miami Rescue Mission, all these homeless men. And when I'm preaching there, their eyes are filled with tears and they're laughing and they're smiling and there's so much hope in their face. And when you talk to them, they're on drugs, they're addicted, they've lost their families, they're sick, they're dying. But their face says, God, you're enough. If your face today is miserable in the house of God, God is not. Can we change our faces? Can we change our faces? I don't mean Botox. I don't mean lifts. If that's your deal, that's fine. But I want you to go in peace. Go in peace. Go today home. Go home and if you and your spouse are here together and you go home and say, okay, honey, we gotta fix our faces. And I mean spiritually. Don't tell your wife that. That's like, get in your car when you're driving and say, Lord, how's my face? Because God is all about facelifts. He is. He says, I want to lift that face of yours. It hasn't happened yet. Your life is still not where you want it to be. And that's okay. Because if you would have the conviction to say, God, you're enough. And I'm choosing today to eat of the peace offering. I'm going to choose to have peace and trust you because you are El Kaina. You are not only my husband, my provider, you are my creator. God created you in your mother's womb. Before he formed you, you were known to him. He is Elkanah, your creator, in control, in power. If I want to give it to you, I'll create it and give it to you. But you need to trust me. And let God be enough. Do you receive this word this morning? Do you really receive it? Because some of you are trying to smile. Like, what's that? What's this? It's your called your teeth. Smile once in a while. Let's all stand. Let's all come together and pray here today. I may not like your face, but I'm glad you're here. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask you all to stand because this is one of those messages that I truly believe it's for everyone in the church. Everyone. So sometimes I force you to get up to say, this is me. This is my message. This was a word for me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. This isn't to call you out or anything. But if you're saying today, God, You have not been enough for me lately. And I confess that lately I've been jealous. I've been discouraged. Lord, I even confess that I've been ungrateful. You can see it in my face. You can feel it in my heart. And I have allowed myself to be robbed of my peace because of what I don't have. I've allowed myself to be robbed of peace because of comparison. Be as bold enough to show me your hands and confess, Lord, this is me. God bless you. All around the room today. God knows where you need to be right now. And I want to tell someone here today, I don't know who you are. Maybe you're not even here, you're listening online. But I have this word in my heart to tell you right now, so pay attention. You are not behind. I don't know what that means for you. The Lord wants you to know you are not behind. Because one of the worst feelings to think is that you're far behind. You should have been somewhere by now. So I don't know who you are, but the Lord wants you to know you are right where He wants you to be. You are not far behind. In fact, like Hannah, God's going to do something that's going to blow what Peninnah has done out of the water. God's getting ready to do something that you won't even believe He's going to do, but He's just preparing you for the due time. Until then, like Hannah, you pray and let it go. Choose peace and worship God. Isn't it interesting? The minute Hannah chose to have peace and prayed, the Bible says as soon as she got home, she laid with Elkanah and became pregnant. Right there. The second she prayed, the Lord opened her womb. She just didn't know it yet. And I prophesy to someone here today that God is opening the door you don't even see right now. God is opening up a door you don't even know about it right now. But as you worship and as you've prayed and as you've had peace, God was opening doors everywhere that you weren't even aware of. So you sit there and wait for God to move. Because He's moving. And He's going to open that womb for you. And you're going to conceive those dreams. And you're going to give birth to destiny. You're just not ready yet. Until then, stop whining. Choose peace and worship Him. Father, forgive us as a church. Forgive us as a people. Because You are Elkanah. You are God the Creator. You created the heavens. You created the earth. You created the universe. And You have created us. Personally. You have written our days. You understand our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, for being ungrateful. For focusing on the negative. For focusing on the wrong. For focusing on what we don't have. And forgetting about the double portions of blessings You have given us. So Father, I pray today, whoever is here listening online, they make peace with You right now. Whatever that is, guys, whatever it is, church. Say, Lord, here it is. Tell them what You want. But vow to God like Hannah did. I'm going to let it go. And whatever You do, I will serve You in. I'll give it back to You, Lord. Because sometimes God can't bless you because He knows that blessing is going to take you away from Him. But if you say, Lord, if you bless me with this, I vow that that's going to make me closer to you. And I'll bless you with that. Maybe then God can open that door. Father, forgive us. Because we know in due time, it's going to happen. We're just not ready yet. For anyone that's spiritually oppressed, Lord, with depression, anxiety, fear and worry and doubt and loneliness, I bind loneliness in the name of Jesus out of your life right now. You are not alone. God is enough. You have nothing to prove to anyone because God is enough. Father, take this word that you've given me. Let it be applicable to their lives as they go now in peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys were blessed by that.